A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon, and Arsenal invincible Martin Keown reacted to a disappointing night in Europe for the English clubs, with Aston Villa the only side left standing. Meantime, civil war has broken out in English football over the scrapping of FA Cup replays from next season. Do the EFL have to show some teeth in response? Former FA chief executive, now Tranmere chairman, Mark Palios gives us his take. There's also time to preview this year's competition as we reach the semi-final stage at the weekend. Will Cole Palmer come back to haunt Manchester City? And can Coventry upset the odds against Manchester United? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. For the first time since 2015, no English sides in the semi-finals, as I said, of the UEFA Champions League or the UEFA Europa League. Liverpool's hopes of ending Klopp's reign with a European trophy over this morning after they failed to overturn a first leg deficit against Atalanta. I don't know, maybe it was never on. Was it ever on? 3-0 down from the first leg at Anfield. Was it ever on? Jurgen Klopp spoke post-match.
We didn't lose the game tonight or the tie tonight. We lost it at home. And that's why we have to, and it's very easy to congratulate Atalanta Bergamo because they deserve to go through. When you win a tie against us 3-1 in this, especially this way, you deserve to go through, absolutely. But I loved our game anyway, especially the start. We were flying into this game. I loved the commitment, the desire. Disappointed that we didn't go through, but not frustrated or angry or something like that. Now we can focus on the league, and that's what we will do.
So the focus on the league, I mean, Simon, Martin, it seems to me, Simon, it's far from the swan song that he wanted.
No, I mean, he would have liked to have seen himself. I mean, ultimately, they were tipped to win this tournament, certainly the Europa League, and to go out in the manner that they have done. I was disappointed with them a little more. I thought that it was going to be this chaos that sort of Danny Murphy had prophesized.
Yeah.
I mean, they get the start that they wanted. They get the perfect start. I think if Salah scores the goal, the second one, where he gets an opportunity, which you would have expected a really on his game Salah, then it would have been a game on, because I think Atalanta would have wobbled. I think Jurgen Klopp says it in his press conference that we had them in moments. They came out looking strong. We got them early and you could see them starting to lose their resolve. And a Liverpool side that was on blob would have done Atalanta last night and would have got themselves, but they weren't.
Salah, for some reason, has completely dried up. I mean, that's hit his shin there. He's got time, hasn't he, to think about it. It's the perfect, you think this would be the perfect opportunity. And then he fluffs his lines. They're creating opportunities. I think it was a bit about restoring pride. But if they'd have scored at that point, I think Liverpool could have gone on to get right back into that competition. But as it stands, it just sort of ebbed away. A win is important, though, Jim, to sort of get it back and look towards the weekend. But it should have been an emphatic victory, and it could have really turned their season around.
I wonder what they'll end up with now, though, Simon.
League Cup.
Do you think?
Yeah.
He's going to leave having won the Carabao Cup, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, winning any cup is an achievement, so let's not denigrate the achievement.
True,
because he did say at the time, whether he was getting it in early, this is the most meaningful moment, given the way they won that League Cup, given the fact they had young kids out on the pitch. But I think that I think now I don't see too many twists. I think there may be one, but I think Manchester City are going to roll into winning the Premier League, and it becomes a debate about who finishes second, I think.
Yeah. We'll obviously be looking at it in more detail further down the line. West Ham, meantime, minutes away from becoming the first team to beat Bayer Leverkusen this season. They ultimately came up short. Now, I don't know about you, Martin. Last night, when it went to 1-1 and Leverkusen got their equaliser, there was a kind of warmth around the place. There was a kind of ripple of applause that was coming from West Ham fans. I don't know about you. I think it came through to me last night there was a kind of feeling of appreciation for the effort West Ham put in last night and the way David Moyes maybe went about it. Get to that in a second. This was Moyes post-match.
I have to say, I think in two games, you know, we're playing a really good team. I thought tonight we had the chance to go two or three up at one point. We probably missed those opportunities, which were really important. But overall, I couldn't fault the players at all. I thought they were fantastic, their attitude, their effort. If I was going to go out of Europe, I wanted to go out playing like that. And it was just a terrific performance against, as I said before, a good side.
You see, I think there was a response last night, Martin, from the West Ham fans, the majority of them, who were either showing their appreciation to the team and what they'd done, not just this season, but last, of course, in Europe, and this is where it ends, and maybe showing their appreciation to David Moyes.
And well, I
this
hope
is
so.
And this is where it might soon end.
Well, there's this question mark, Jim, as to whether or not he's going to sign a new contract, which is just, you know, for some reason that contract's sitting there, whether that's to do with budgets, transfer budgets for next season. There's clearly an offer. They want him to continue. I think he, by and large, has done a good job there, Jim. But last night they're playing against a very good team by Leverkusen. I thought they, half-time, couldn't come quick enough for them. I think, you know, once it got to half-time, second half, they came out a totally different team and they really went after West Ham. They seem to run out of steam, Jim. Mm. And they don't really go and press. They sit quite deep. But there's been progress for me there in their performance last night. Their record in Europe has been magnificent, West Ham. So they can be proud of that.
Yeah, but I look think at that. I'm seeing the messages coming in as you're speaking. As Jim, a West Ham fan. Guys, I'm Moyes' biggest critic. Last night, though, we just want to see an effort in an attempt to try and win this game, and they gave it a very happy hammer this Friday morning.
Interesting now that, you know, not necessarily the result that's pleasing the West Ham fans, it's the performance.
Right.
And I think that's the crux of everything for West Ham fans, who are angry they're not seeing the, you know, the attacking football, flowing football that they want to see. And that's where the balance is. But I think as he puts this jigsaw piece together, when you look at some of those players Jimmy's now using, although he's let some go, hasn't he? He's let some go on loan.
Yeah.
Not available last night, could have done with you know, extra alternative. He does need a bigger squad if he's going to attack Europe.
You see,
like
I wonder last night, Simon, did we see Moyes take his final bow in the European stage with West Ham?
My gut feel, well, yes, I think certainly on the European stage, because West Ham, I don't think, are going to qualify for Europe next season. Mm. And I think the way that the Premier League is shaping up with the amount of clubs that are there and thereabouts, I don't see West Ham in any short order being in Europe anytime soon. I hope I'm wrong. So certainly on that question, I think that's probably a fair analysis, because it'll be at least a couple of years before they can do that, as a matter of course, certainly a year. And my gut feel tells me, and my nose tells me, that we probably won't see David Moyes in the West Ham dugout next season. Not because I have any particular intelligence behind that observation. I just think that we are seeing David Moyes now becoming probably a little bit disillusioned with the constant questioning and the inference. And he is aware of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, I spoke to him last year, when I bumped into him at an event which I spoke at with David Dean,
and
I spoke to David Moyes, and you could sense that David was aware. He was irritated at the way the media were reporting his experiences. He was irritated with the observations about how much money West Ham had been given when it wasn't quite along those lines. And I felt at the time that you seem to be plugged into other things that are less important. And now we got rolled forward a year. They've won a European competition. They're in the top half of the Premier League, yet still there's a very large and dissenting voice that you cannot ignore. Mm. And, you know, we often hear it inside football stadiums, and all of us are guilty of going, oh, that 1,000 in the corner are reflective of the other 50,000, but they're often not.
Yeah.
But it feels
But the fans want to go to the next level, don't they? So they'll see them now
The next level of performance, because I'm not sure how they're going to go to the next level of attainment, because where is that?
Well, they've only won two games in the last seven.
Yeah.
So they want more.
Granted, it's not just they want more. Even when they win games, they want to win games with a different brand of football.
Yeah, yeah. Even when they won a European title, he was still coming in for some flack. They went out last night, though, as you rightly say, Martin, to a special side in Bayer Leverkusen, who, quite incredibly, I think they last lost at Bochum on the 27th of May last year, 328 days and 44 matches ago. I mean, it's a sensational run. And who's to say they don't go all the way and win it? It's Roma for them next. I hope the Germans win it. Nobody better to ask than Martin Keown. What does it take to go unbeaten?
Cool. Blimey, you have that momentum. It's interesting, they've just won 10 on the bounce in the Bundesliga. You can see that you know, when it matters, they know what to do at the right moments, Jim. They just were just managing it till half time. You could see coming off the pitch, there was a little bit of a meeting with the players. They knew it wasn't right. Alonso makes the adjustments.
Yeah.
And I thought then they were magnificent in the second half. I do think a little bit West Ham playing a slightly different way, trying to press, trying to win the ball back, trying to play more with the ball, didn't really have the energy to do that, to keep those levels up. And they knew that. They knew their opponent eventually wouldn't be able to sustain that effort. And they come through. So they're going to need that between now and the end of the season. Some big games coming up for them. They play Dortmund next, you know, which is not going to be an easy game. They've qualified themselves for the latter stage of the Champions League. So that's probably the big one, Jim, the next one.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
FA Cup replays have been scrapped from the first round onwards, and the final will be played before the end of the Premier League campaign as part of several changes made to the competition from next season. The FA and the Premier League have reached a 6-year agreement over the changes. Well, good for them, say members of the EFL, because certain owners and chairmen of EFL clubs are saying it would have been nice to know. The Peterborough chairman and owner, Darren McAntony, a regular on this show, was quick to respond. We're now at the stage where the big boys don't even bother to notify us or talk through proper changes like the ones announced regards the FA Cup. I have no idea what the Premier League or the FA are even thinking of pulling this move the way it's unfolded. If this is a sign of things to come, then expect a full-on fallout within English football coming soon, all caused by one faction of our game. So, absolute ructions after this announcement. I just wonder what this man thinks this morning, because he's had, if you like, a foot in both camps. The former FA chairman and now chairman of Tranmere Rovers, Mark Palios, joins us live. I think, Mark, you were former FA chief exec, were you not? Good morning to you. Mark, what's your reaction to what we now know?
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, guys. I mean, if you saw our club statement yesterday, it basically set out where I am personally on it. I think there are two issues here. One is the actual decision itself and what it means for the competition, for fans and for lower league clubs. And the second element to it, which you could actually say is actually more important, is the governance issues, the way in which it was decided. And I think that's the position that we need to really start to look at. Especially in the light of the what I would call Part 6 of the independent regulator bill that's about to go through Parliament, because unbeknownst to people, and people don't realise, when you see the governance that we've seen in play here, the bill as currently drafted starts to, I can go into more detail if you want, your listeners may not want to hear that, but the bill as currently drafted only allows the EFL and the EPL to raise the backstop rights. Now, I would argue that the EFL doesn't represent the 72 clubs. And recently, the FA coming out after the response yesterday, I think they threw the EFL under the bus on the basis that they were saying that, well, we agreed it with the Professional Game Board, and who sits on the Professional Game Board but the chair of the EFL? Yet there was no consultation with the EFL clubs about something which I think is relatively important.
And specifically on that, Mark, what's your view of that?
Well, I think that's outrageous. I would imagine, I can only speculate the reason for it is that they felt that they might have had a lot of opposition. That's the whole point of consultation, to get the views of people.
Yes. Simon, it seems that this is just a start of what's going to be a major bust-up, I think. I mean, the very language used by Darren McAntony, and you know Dara, he's not shy. He's saying it's time to show some minerals in how we respond to these events. Ignoring us lower down the pyramid is not a sensible route to take going forward.
Well, I mean, that all depends. It's all based upon what you actually mean by minerals and what you actually can do. And the question I would ask Mark is, to some extent, Mark, isn't this manna for heaven to some extent? Because this gives grist to the elbow of the independent regulator and what you may be able to lean on the independent regulator to be able to achieve. Because on one hand, you've got the Premier League and the FA, and the FA really, I think, are the bigger culprits in this because they're supposed to be the de facto protector of the game. But you've got a situation where this kind of behaviour, you've just said that the assertion has been that the EFL chairman has been, in fact, in agreement with this, which is either a truth or an untruth. So I would suggest it's probably an untruth for the purpose of this conversation. But do not think with this kind of positioning that actually helps the arguments about the length and breadth of the regulator's powers.
Absolutely, Simon, you're spot on. It's a misstep, I think, by the, if I call them, the powers that be. This is a classic example of poor governance. Governance, you know, if you want a definition of it, it's all stakeholders are confident in the decision-making process. Well, clearly all stakeholders haven't been addressed. Now, if I just come back to the FA, what you see there is we've just gone through a fan-led review. If you look at it, the impact of the decision, I'll just take replays as one of the elements, and one of the main elements has caused concern. That has two different impacts. One is the financial impact to lower league clubs, and two is the impact on the fan experience, because how many fans can relate to, you know, giant killing acts, etc., from years and years ago?
Yes.
So they never consulted with fans, which I think is just an absolute... It's just a... having gone through a fan-led review and getting us to that position. So, yes, you're right. I think this is a classic example. Now, if you go to the bill as it's drafted, because the government doesn't understand that the EFL doesn't represent 72 clubs. The EFL represents, to my mind, the championship clubs, because they've been trying to keep them desperately within the EFL for many years. And so the voting system in the EFL means that anything material that gets done has to have the consent of the championship clubs. So I've been saying for a number of years now, they don't represent me, they don't represent clubs down the lower league, yet the government feels that they do. So who can trigger the backstop, the much-vaunted backstop provisions of the regulator? The only people who can do that are the EFL or the EPL. What about the rest of the pyramid, the National League? And as I say, the EFL doesn't represent me. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I would say, Mark, Mark, in respect of that observation, and I understand why you're saying it, I was there when the construct was changed, and there was a good reason why there was weighting given to the championship, because clubs in League One and League Two didn't represent the championship and yet had an ability to change the direction of travel until the constitution was changed to give more weighting to the championship. So there's a yin and a yang in that conversation.
Yeah, I understand that, but actually if you stand back and look at the principles of this, and this is really what I think a regulator needs to do at a very high level, is to strategically look at, you might be able to package the championship clubs with the premiership clubs and have a better competition that you can sell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that,
yeah,
as long as the money that comes into the game is distributed fairly. If that means the cake is bigger, then fantastic. But you've got to go away from this old thinking that you've got to nail the championship into the EFL, because what's happened over the years is it hasn't helped the championship, because you see where the championship is now, which is an actual financial mess, and it hasn't helped the lower league clubs either. So something has to change.
Mark, let me jump in. I mean, it's fair to say, and I will put this forward, in exchange for scrapping replays, the FA has got a commitment that no Premier League matches will take place on Cup Final Day or the day before. The final's been moved to the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season. But let's say, Mark, your beloved Tranmere Rovers were to draw Simon's former club, Crystal Palace, in the Cup. And you get them at your place and somehow you manage to draw 1-1. You're now denied the opportunity to go to their place to further the tie, to see if you can carry on where you left off at your own ground. Surely that can't be right that you're denied that now.
Absolutely. And that, you know, I'll go back even more recently in terms of, and a real example is we did that. We were 3-0 down at Watford when they were in the Premiership a few years ago. And at half time, we were 3-0 down. We drew 3-3, took them back to one place, and knocked them out. Fantastic. You know, the fans remember that game. They remember the away game. They remember the home game. Now, there are very few opportunities. I'm coming back on the FA now, because on the fan aspect, there are very few opportunities for lower league fans to have those great days and those great memories. You know, Liverpool fans, Man City fans, you know, they're in the Champions League and so forth and so on. So good luck to them. But actually, for lower league fans, and there's a hell of a lot of them, judging by the response to our statement yesterday, they look at that and they really, and that's where the FA is wrong, because just to concoct a deal and say, well, the EFL are in on it because the professional game board are on it. Okay, that's a separate professional game board. But did they consult the fans?
Simon, what should the so-called smaller clubs do now? Should they now say to the likes of the FA, all right, here's the deal, it's on you now to give us a better distribution deal?
It's a very simplistic view to suggest that the problem is that it takes away, yes, it takes away the opportunity for replays, but if you look at the balance of probability and you look at the recent level of replays that have actually been achieved, it's very, very small. I think it was 2 last year. So we're talking about a very small amount of money. What we're talking about is the optics of what this looks like. Here's the reality of what would happen. If the Premier League and the EFL via Rick Parry, Trevor Birch and Richard Masters are able to come to a deal where the distribution for broadcast monies, English football gets a better, fairer deal, where rather than the 9% that goes to 72 clubs and the 91% that goes to 20, if you move that towards 15 or 20%, which is what Parry and Birch are trying to achieve, and said to all of the EFL clubs that are outraged now by the FA Cup that you are going to have this FA Cup situation, there wouldn't be a peep. All the nostalgia and the sentimentality of Hereford and Yeovil and other teams that have gone in to play would be distilled into, we're getting another £600 or £700 million a year, which will be distributed into all of the pyramid, and every single football club will be millions of pounds better off, far more than the 50, 60 or a couple of £100,000 every 5 years.
They fans might get of the so-called smaller clubs support their club for the very opportunity that a replay in the cup gives them against a bigger club.
But you just haven't listened to what I've just said.
I know, I hear the money aspect.
And we understand all that, but that's about the money aspect. You've just made it about the money aspect for a replay. Right? And those replays happen about as rare as Rocking Horse these days.
Well, here's another money aspect of it. Kieran, the FA Cup's a disgrace, the FA Cup replay situation. Our replay at Old Trafford, he's an Exeter City fan, our replay at Old Trafford saved us from going into administration.
By what token? By the money that it generated.
Right.
So now, if we move the dial across and suggest that ultimately, if the EFL are able to weaponise behaviour like this and to get the independent regulator to legislate even stronger, and if the conversation was happened, Darren McAntony and all of the outrage in the room, and they were sat in a room, having been there myself, 72 clubs, and said, look, we're going to scrap replays. Oh, I know all the sentimentality of it, but we're going to get you an extra £3 million a year in TV revenues. There would be no outrage, because there would be no need for any outrage, because what they would have gotten is 10 times, 20 times...
But how likely is it they'll get that?
Well, that's the that's the role of the independent regulator.
Jim,
that's the negotiation that's going on between the EFL and the Premier League, and that's the battleground.
The competition that we have now is unique, isn't it? So we've got 729 teams that can take part in this event every year. It's quite unique. We give the little teams get an opportunity, don't they, to play with the big boys.
Yeah.
So if you're a plumber, you're an electrician, you're a tailor, you play against the big boys.
And they still get it.
Yeah, but they don't.
But you dare to dream. You dare to dream in competition.
I understand all that. Let's deal with reality rather than sentimentality. There aren't hardly any replays.
But what's the best chance for a lower league team to go far in the competition?
The principle of it, yes, I understand the idealistic nature of it.
Maybe to win, to get a result away from home and take them back home.
If we are talking about the reality of what football has become, every single one of these conversations, I've had people saying to me, it gave me an opportunity to go to Old Trafford and I would never have been there as an Exeter fan, right? I haven't heard that yet. What I've heard is it saved my football club economically. That's what I've heard in every single conversation that you've read off from the teletext that we've got and the outrage that's going on left, right, and
center. But the memory is for the fans,
and
inspire people to come back,
but
year after year, and other teams to follow on.
This, Simon, with no consultation yesterday,
but there was no vote put to me.
But would you have said, yeah, go ahead, no consultation, and make it an announcement?
In which guise, as an EFL person, I wouldn't have been party
exactly,
to a vote.
The way they did it
as
yesterday.
A Premier League, as a Premier League person that was represented by the Premier League, I think people are a little bit away with themselves about what the Premier League. If I'm the owner of Crystal Palace in the Premier League, do you know what? I don't care about Lincoln.
There you go.
Why would I?
There you go.
Because if Lincoln...
And that's the attitude the fans of the smaller clubs absolutely
love. But
it's
not because it's a smaller club, because I spent a lot of my time as an owner in the EFL. I'm a realist. I understand that the economics of the game have got to be, and the FA not being fit for purpose, so I'm going to weaponise this and make sure that the independent regulator, my one battering ram, can get me what I really want, which is 15 to 20% of the overall broadcast revenues in this country. Thank you very much, and I'll get rid of my...
I'm going to vote for you. I'm going to vote for Simon. I'm going to vote for Simon to be the regulator. What is the... Who's going after this job? Can you take it? Would you take it?
No,
you
it's, protect the lowly it's 130 clubs? Grand a year, and I don't tend to get out of bed for that.
It's about money again money. For you.
There you go.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport. It's a kind of magic.
It's a kind of magic. The best domestic cup competition in the world, bar none.
Liga touches it on to Jackson. Back to Chukwuemeka in the box. Palmer to Chukwuemeka!
Manchester City become the first team in FA Cup history to compete in semi-finals for 6 seasons in a row.
Ball inside the area for Sims, for Wright. Oh, they've won it! They've won it! Coventry have won it in the 10th minute of stoppage time. The counter-attack is on. We're in stoppage time. Garnacho, Ahmad. Ahmad on the edge of the penalty area. Ahmad! He scored!
FA Cup is casting its magical spell.
And it's all about the FA Cup semi-final this weekend. Chelsea against Manchester City, Saturday 5:15. That is live on TalkSport. Former Chelsea defender Scott Minto will be alongside the man many think, and I agree, the best in the business, Sam Matterface, will be at Wembley for that. Arsenal invincible Martin Keown, a winner of the FA Cup no fewer than 3 times, is alongside Simon Jordan, who's never won one, and alongside myself, who's never been near one either. Martin Keown, you know exactly what this tournament's about. You know the cup. You love the cup. It's a great tie, this. Chelsea, who scored 6 the other night against Everton in the Premier League, up against Manchester City, who had a grueling night against Real Madrid in the Champions League and eventually went out on penalties. You know, Cole Palmer springs to mind, Martin. He got 4 the other night against Everton. Before he'd moved from Manchester City to Chelsea this summer, he'd never scored a league goal. The 21-year-old now has 20 to his name and is joint top scorer with Erling Haaland. Is he bound to be the star man in this fixture, do you think? one time of City, now of Chelsea, and flying along.
He is. And I just feel that the other night when you know, Man City were quite magnificent against Real Madrid, we know that. But the kind of the elephant in the room was Cole Palmer, that he wasn't at the club. And everybody at the club, the youth academy, and everybody would have wanted him there, Jim, because you want as many Galacticos as they've got, you want another one who maybe could have come on and unlocked the door. But fair play to him, he's left the football club and he's gone now to Chelsea. Quite remarkable what he's doing there. The goal he scored against Everton the other day, where he puts it past the keeper, beats three players, little nutmeg. There's so much brilliance in that goal, Jim. It's almost genius. And you just look at it and you think, well, look, it's masterful, this kid. He's just like, he's just so cool, so calm in every situation that he's in. And you would have wanted him at Man City. But I admire the manager for letting him leave, because there's a freedom in that. The manager's like, okay, I can't guarantee you first team football. But if only he'd have waited, maybe the Real Madrid game would have been the one where it opens up. He'd have had to be very patient. But we now know for sure he's the real deal.
Yeah, maybe and City would have embraced that. To get out. We'd admire that as
of
well.
Of course. This is a balancing act. But I think if you're a City fan, you want to see that in your team and you want to see someone coming through the ranks. And everyone puts a hell of a lot of effort in at Man City, and there's not too many make it through. And this is one now that's flown the nest. And that will hurt. That will hurt. Now, it might be ironical this weekend that he comes back to really hurt them, Man City, properly on the pitch, because that's what could happen. Yeah. But you expect City to do it. We all sit back. But they'll be hurting after that disappointment. But they're a proud team. We know their manager is a serial winner. So I think it could be a cracker. It's interesting to see what will happen in that midfield for Chelsea. Conor Gallagher normally plays in the 10, but Palmer played there against Everton because Fernandes wasn't available. So there's a little bit of a weakness in that midfield. And we know that they're unpredictable, Chelsea. But nonetheless, they could turn up against City. But City, probably favourites. But Palmer, he could have the last say on the day.
He could have the last laugh, couldn't he? I mean, you want to chip in, Simon.
Well, I think the reasons why he left Man City, if my recollection serves me well, is I don't think Pep fancied him that much. And that may well come back and bite him, because these performances in recent weeks, and specifically and explicitly against Everton, were on a different level. And in talking to various people, Danny Murphy thinks that potentially he's the best of the lot in terms of what's come out of City, better than people like Foden. John Terry thinks he's outstanding, because I was talking to John about him yesterday, and should be on a plane to go to Germany. And he's beginning to look like a real, real player in terms of what he does and doesn't do. And you could see the reaction from the centre-halves at Everton, who were having to deal with him at times, and the manner in which they dropped off away from him. They didn't like any of it. He's nutmegging players for fun. I mean, I know that's not necessarily the determinator of a good footballer or not, but the player's got it, and ultimately he could be the defining difference. But Man City are big game players, a big team, and they know how to win, and they don't carry... The good thing about what winners do is they don't tend to carry adversity with them. They tend to respond to it. So the disappointment of the outcome against Real Madrid on a lesser set of mortals...
Yeah.
Might carry over into the next game. I don't see that happening in this game, but notwithstanding it, what you've got with Chelsea being in the form that they're in after 6-0 hammering,
should have beat Liverpool in the League Cup,
hapless though, Everton.
Just looking confidence. At the merits of this Chelsea team, I mean, maybe this is when they turn up. The incident with the penalty, I think, to be honest, I think Pochettino is someone here that has to bear some of the brunt of that ill discipline that we saw, which was really a shame. Players fighting over a bread roll. You're out in public with your kids, and they let you down. It's an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. Shouldn't have got to that stage. Not have got to that stage. He's too loose. He's too free with the players. This is a young group, and he has to. Maybe now this is a moment in their history where it all changes. Yeah. Young players that seem to be out of control.
None of them would have been stepping up if it was 0-0, by the way.
Well, they didn't see them running up to take it against Manchester United.
Exactly right.
It's incredible, penalty. Matt, when you look at Manchester City, though. The seventh time in 8 seasons under Pep that Manchester City are playing the semi-finals of the FA Cup. But this one is coming off the back of them going out to Real Madrid the other night. And we know what happened in that, because Haaland and De Bruyne both came off. And I think some City fans were thinking, well, why? Why them? But Pep explained it was down to them.
Erling and Kevin asked me to go out, could not continue, like Manu. So the game we were playing, they were amazing. I was a big fan to make a lot of substitutions, but Kevin, Erling and Manu asked me to go out because we could not continue.
I mean, Martin, should there be concerns here? This is off the back of Rodri saying I'm knackered, and Haaland and De Bruyne apparently saying that's it from us. we want off.
Well, that's an honesty, isn't it? And that's that these players have, you know, both had injury issues this season, so they've both been out for lengthy periods. And maybe they're not feeling that at their best, and they want, you know, they're looking to the group then to get them through. And
so are Chelsea getting City at just the right time?
Maybe just the worst time, you know, because champions, they, as I say, they respond, they react. These guys have, what was it, 5-6 trophies last season? They won't be happy, Jim, with just the odd trophy. They want to win everything before them. And so, and they very nearly did it again. They should have done it against Real Madrid. It was ridiculous, the amount of possession that they had, the opportunities they had. So no, they look firm favourites to me. But don't,
who do?
Man City. They look firm favourites to win this game. It's the perfect game.
Chelsea haven't lost since the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah, and they've got a very good record as well in making it to cup finals. So, you know, it's up there. But I don't see the consistency in their play. I don't see the structure. I do see good performances, but I think because of that lack of consistency, I see that Man City win this.
What do you think, Simon? I mean, if Chelsea are going to do it, this is the time.
Is it? You know,
for the reasons that have just been explained, the Real Madrid exit the other night, etc.
But that's assuming, like from the top of this conversation, where I suggested to you that the caliber of Manchester City players doesn't take adversity as a disadvantage; they use it as a strength and come back from it, because the alternative is they get knocked out of the FA Cup. They want to win an FA Cup. They can finish a season with the up in the air position around the Premier League, or they can nail on an opportunity to win the FA Cup. They'll turn up in this game, Manchester City. It's whether Chelsea do. And if Chelsea turn up in this game, then we might have a classic semi-final.
Jim,
I still pick Man City.
Virtually 70% possession they had against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
You know, who were in a Champions League final. Like 30-odd shots.
By the way, this is the same Chelsea that drew 2-2 with Sheffield United.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Two FA Cup semi-finals to look forward to. Saturday, Chelsea, Manchester City, live on TalkSport. And then Sunday, Coventry City of the Championship up against the mighty Manchester United. Jim Proudfoot will be there for us, and so too will be former Coventry and England defender Stuart Pearce will be on show for us at that one. Coventry against Manchester City. And that, of course, brings back great memories of Coventry's 3-2 win over Tottenham way back in 1987. And a former man that day at a whale of a time, former Coventry striker Keith Houchen, that day had a blessed afternoon and was one of the stars of the show. Pretty sure that this man, though, is looking forward to this weekend, maybe a weekend that has come along somewhat unexpectedly, but they're in there, and now they could get to an FA Cup final, and who's to say they don't replicate what they did back in 1987. Coventry City owner Doug King joins us live. Doug, good afternoon to you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling excited, of course. It's looming. So, excitement's building here in Coventry, and I think people are taking most of Friday off and even getting down there for the long weekend.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, am I right in thinking that it's well over 30,000 are going to be there in terms of Coventry City fans, same for United, no doubt. But it could rise to about 36,000 on the day.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 36,000. We had 34,000 and it went pretty swiftly. We got an extra couple of thousand in there. And we're gradually going through our point system and they're being snapped up. So I think we're going to be full decked out. And 36,000 Coventryans will be there to try and take us to where we need to get to.
Doug, what have you started here? I was talking to Simon during the last commercial break about you, and I've got to know you a bit. We bumped into each other two or three times now. Invariably, you've got your son with you, and it's always nice to see him. Doug, you seem to have the Midas touch. I mean, in the past, Coventry City fans were very much at war with the owner, Sisu, and they have now gone. And Coventry, because they couldn't play at their own home, became a bit nomadic for a spell. In comes you with all your wealth, but your business acumen and know-how. It seems to me you have turned everything round. How have you done it?
I think that's very generous of you, but I don't think that's true. I mean, obviously, I've been here for what, 15 months or so. I think obviously, getting out of two into one, and then getting and stabilising in the Championship was a huge job. You know, certainly through Mark and his team, you know, driving that forward. I think obviously coming in at this point, we're trying to get the extra mile, which is always the most difficult one, which is to get out of the Championship. We know is skewed against us, but I said I wanted a cut run. We were a little bit disappointed last year when the Hollywood boys and girls came up and took us out in the third round. And here we are in the semi-final. So I know the guys are up for it. It's hugely exciting for our city. It's obviously more international. It's more national than the championship. And I think that just inspires more people to sort of see what we're doing, get re-engaged with us after a period, as you say, where we've been out and about at different stadiums and had our challenges. So, you know, for me, I think it's super exciting and it's going to be a huge weekend for us.
Doug, what have you made of, I mean, on a different subject about the FA Cup, because obviously all the news at this moment in time is the battle going on between the EFL, the Premier League and the FA about the abolishing of replays. What have you made as a championship club owner?
I just think the way that was done, again, just doesn't, I didn't like the way it was done, right? So if you want to discuss and change a few things, you bring in everybody and you have a chat about it and you try and get a resolution. And at some point, you know, maybe there's a decision made or it goes into a wider sort of, you know, coverage. But, you know, again, it just looks like a fait accompli and then everybody gets upset and it feels that way in general through obviously what's going on between the Premier League and the pyramid and why we've got the regulator coming in and hopefully with some power to try and solve a few things.
I like what you've done. I mean, you really have changed the place. I know a couple of Coventry fans, Doug. I used to work with them at Sky. And they are loving every minute of the months that you have taken over as owner. Having said that, Doug, of late, three defeats in your last four in the championship, I think it is. You look at Ipswich riding high at the top on 89 points, and you've somewhat been cut adrift in eighth on 63. If you could swap with Ipswich and take their place at the top of the championship and give them an FA Cup semi-final tomorrow. You know where I'm going with this, Mr. Doug King.
Yeah, I'd probably take you up on it. I mean, it's so romantic and 37 years and everybody getting inspired again and we're just rekindling people who've sort of gone away a bit, which is what the FA Cup does, which is why it's so fantastic. I think, obviously, our goal is to get out of the championship. And as you rightly say, we came back after the international break. We won well away at Huddersfield, and then we slipped up, you know, at Cardiff, which was a tough one. And then we had a run of difficult ones. We took Leeds, and then we went a little bit off colour. And then, obviously, the Birmingham one was, well, maybe, yeah, it was a big game coming up, and we'll just gloss over that. But the reality is, in my view, we're still in it, to be fair. I think we'll see what happens this weekend. See how this works through. Everybody's dropping points everywhere, as we see at the top. And it's never over till it's over. And we've seen on the last day many, many twists and turns. So hopefully we can keep alive and keep our hopes alive into the last game of the season and hope for Birmingham to do us a favour against Norwich or, you know, West Brom slip up or, you know, those type of things. So, listen, but I would swap it, to be fair with you, because that's our goal. And once we get this club once out of the championship, it re-establishes us for good or for a longer period, and that will be hugely welcome to what we can do at the club.
Doug, you might be changing that answer if you're in the final on Monday.
Honestly, the boys are going to be, you know, they went into Wolves. That was a huge game for them. They performed the best performance of the season. You know, we deserve to win that game. I know we won it very dramatically. Obviously, it's going to be a huge occasion. How you handle that occasion is everything, you know. And I know that Mark, having been, you know, he's been Wembley four times, the experience of 80, just to keep it balanced, ready, make sure you focus and don't let the occasion get ahead of you. They're all the things that will be pumped into them. And then it's down to the guys who I know can play at a huge level and a bit of an extra 5-10% just on the occasion. And it might just be enough to get us where we want to go.
Doug, you're talking back to the Wolves game, which I thought you were quite magnificent in that match, the way you won it, particularly late on. And we look at Manchester United, and there's only one win in five for them. And for me, if I'm in the big club, I think we expect to win. But if we go into the game casual, or we take off the foot off the gas for a moment, are you equipped to take advantage of that? Because I don't think this is an incredible Manchester United team here by any means.
Yeah, no, I think that we're equipped, and I think it's how everybody just handles the situation and make sure that they remember obviously the game plans and you just don't go loose and it all, you know, you do things that you really don't want to be doing and you get exposed and you suddenly lose a game before you've even, you know, turned up. So I think that everything is, you know, Mark and AD are extremely experienced leadership team, and we've obviously got some players who played in huge games. You had your rights, been playing World Cups. You know, Liam Kitchen was in the playoff finals. Ben Chief played in the playoff final last year. So, you know, for me, they've been at Wembley. This will be something different, I feel, because it's the FA Cup semi-final, and I think that it will be unbelievably, you know, just crazy. But I think that we know what we've got to do, and we will absolutely give it 100% to try and obviously get to the final, which give us a chance to win the cup again.
Very exciting, Simon, isn't it, for an owner, a relatively new owner, in a position like this?
It's brilliant. In my first season at Palace, we got to a cup semi-final. It's a League Cup. I mean, the FA Cup is on a different level. And I just was going to say to you, Doug, I don't know what you've made of the football world, because both of us come from commercial backgrounds. You've made more money than I have, but notwithstanding it, you still go into football with a vantage point of, is it really like the world tells you that it is? And you've walked into Coventry, which I looked at a few times back in the past because of relationships with Gary Hoffman and other people that are around the football club that was the chair of the Premier League. What have you made of it all? Because you've walked in there. Last season, you almost got promoted. This season, you've got to an FA Cup semi-final. You know, you must be thinking this is moderately easy, this business. We're getting ourselves into good positions pretty quickly.
Believe you me, I do not think that one moment at all. I think it's a hugely, it's an interesting business. It's quite a wild. There's lots of people doing things that probably I wouldn't think that they ought to be doing in our league, where obviously it's a very difficult league with the skew of the parachute, which is just so distorting that, you know, for us trying to break out of it, it just means that people can take risks that really might hurt them if it doesn't work through. So I think my view is I look at it very calmly in respect to I want to get close to an operating sustainable level. And that is incredibly difficult. But that is the goal that I've set for us. And that means huge cost control. But it means commercial growth. We need the stadium full. We need to have the boxes rocking. We need to re-engage commercially. So it's actually, we're starting from a low point because it's been hidden away for quite a few years. And so commercial entities, let's say, in the local area have probably not thought about coming in and re-engaging. But it's starting to change. I mean, it really is starting to change. We're having great meetings with proper businesses. They're feeling that their employees are coming more to the games and they see how exciting it is. You know, we're 30,500 against Leeds. We're selling out, you know, the arena 2-3 times a year at the moment. So, listen, you've got to believe in where you want to go, and everybody's got to be there to get you where you want to go. I can't do it on my own. If 20,000 turn up and nobody cares, we're going to have to cut back and we won't be able to have the team that we want to sort of get us out of the league. So everyone's got to get on with it. And I've been consistent with that message and I'll be consistent with it. But they see that at least I'm investing in the playing quality to ensure that we will challenge upwards. And they're also seeing that I'm doing some long overdue work on the infrastructure of the football club, which for me was a debacle, was an embarrassment. And for me, that attracts better players. It also gives more pride to our community who want to feel that we're doing the right things. Yeah. And I think that's why they're re-engaging with the club and probably why they're quite excited.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back next week to bring you the best of the show.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin,
while the Glow and Go Facial Set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.